Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge, brains. How are you? You're at the spot, your favorite podcast, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And today we have Sharitha Mallette, and I'm so happy to have her. She's a beautiful woman, originally from India. We are going to cover everything from soup to nuts. She's going to share with us her mission. She is a transformational life coach, a blogger, an author, a podcaster, works in the health field, married to a physician, and has a son that is a surgeon. Now, let me tell you, is that going deep or what? Is he a surgeon, your son?
My son's a surgeon. My daughter is an actor and a trained opera singer.
Wow. Look at that. All that talent. Yes. All that talent. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about the culture, the Indian culture, and arranged marriages, but also her purpose, what has been revealed to her about a chant that she wants us all to participate in. And we're going to go into that and a whole lot more. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Sri?
Thank you so much, April. It's such a pleasure to be here. Really honored.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you came on my show. I just was watching you, and you did an amazing job on your podcast. Brains, we're going to get all that information as well. Tell us how you showed up in this space, in this place, doing what you're doing right now.
It's been, not sure where to start, but it's been a long, a lifelong journey of wanting to be seen more, wanting to be heard more, wanting to make an impact. The way life worked out, this was the time when I got into a space where I was able to, this is talking about the podcast, was able to create this podcast called This Is Your Time to Shine. I started preparing to be a coach sometime around, I mean, formally preparing to be a coach sometime around 2015 or 2016. But really, I think all my life has been about learning to be a coach and learning to be somebody who supports other human beings, who sees their value and worth even when they are not able to see it themselves. And so that's been a skill that I've had throughout my life, and it just seemed like the right time to hone it and bring it.
I say this respectfully, the question I'm going to ask, but also with curiosity. You come from a culture and a country where women's voices are suppressed. Not all. I mean, you know, it's evolved now, but it is more of a submissiveness. Is that what you're doing now? Is that a way to elevate that voice, to be a voice for the voiceless, or for women, or for children? Is this giving you power?
Definitely. I do want to push back a little bit on the idea that women in India don't have a voice, just because it's a fairly stereotypical image. Okay. I come from a community which is matriarchal, right? Mm-hmm. So actually, my last name should not be Meleth. It should be Tekecharwat, which would be, Meleth is my husband's mother's name. Okay. So we in our community, we carried the name through the mother's line, not the father's line. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cultural background that goes into that. But I want to tell you a little story about this, because I remember we were, we've traveled the world. I've lived in three continents, and this happened in Preston, Lancashire, England. I was pregnant with my daughter. My son was in first grade, and it just so happened that my memory is that he wanted My Little Pony lunchbox, and he took that to school, and the teacher pulled me aside a few days later and said, "Your son shouldn't be bringing this lunchbox to school." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because it's a girl's lunchbox. It's not a boy's lunchbox, and he's being teased, and he'll be bullied." And I just blew up. I mean, I said, "What are you talking about? This is supposed to be the West, right? This is supposed to be the West where women and men are equal, and there is no such thing as the women's colors, men's colors, and you all talk about us as if we don't have a voice. But here you are. You are the person who should be telling the children this is not the way to treat a kid just because he's brought a lunchbox to school." She didn't know what hit her. I mean, first of all, she wouldn't have expected an immigrant woman to be to have that kind of a voice and to speak up to her. Give it, I mean, we did end up buying him a Transformers lunchbox because in the end he said he did want one. But the idea that it's, all of this just to say that women have been suppressed all over the world, right? And this idea of discrimination, this is what women should do, this is what men, boys should do, this is how, I think it's actually, there are certain ways in which it is much more prevalent in these, in the societies here in the West. I'm
Well,
sorry, I don't mean to be aggressive about it, just the fact
be aggressive. That's what we do on the edge. We can agree to disagree and not be disagreeable because I want you to be strong. But what I need to interject is that things have changed considerably here in the West because now you look at children. They don't even want the next generation, Z and A, they don't even want to be associated with the gender. They're non-binary. Okay, so the world is opening up, but it is different. And we are going through this portal. We are going through 5G. We are going through a whole evolutionary, revolutionary energy shift. So allow us some grace to catch up.
No.
Because again, it's ignorance. As far as I have never immersed myself that deeply in the culture, but as a Black woman, in America, I understand what oppression and suppression means. It's different for each person. So that's why I like to ask these questions, and I want you to be the, subject matter expert.
And I don't want to pretend that there is no suppression. There is absolutely, there are a lot of issues with misogyny and suppression of women's voices. Sometimes I like to say that in a part of my family, my husband's family, women don't even know that they can dream. They don't even know that they can think of a life beyond that, beyond one that is prescribed for them, right? So this is what they do. These are the professions that they can choose. This is how they behave. This is what it's changing now. Again, with the younger generation, it's changed a lot. Girls are going out, living by themselves. They're pursuing their professions. But there was, until even my generation, and I would say there were women who dared not raise their voice.
Right. And a lot of arranged marriage. There is
We,
still a lot of arranged marriage and
yeah, but the way, yeah, so mine was an arranged marriage. I saw my husband for about 15 minutes, and then I got married to him a month later. But we also match horoscopes. So So we match horoscopes. The horoscope said that this is a marriage that is meant to happen. My father asked me, my mother had died just a year before that, and so my father asked me, "What do you think? Are you okay with getting married to this person?" And if I had said no, there is no way that marriage would go forward. So in my case, in many families, there is the arrangement is that the parents bring the people together, and we do all of this. For us, particularly in South India, it's horoscope matching is extremely important. You don't see each other until you know that the horoscopes have matched,
Wow. And that
and
that's
then.
very intuitive and insightful. Because you're going beyond the superficial, you're going to the supernatural, you know. But I mean, there's other things that I don't know. Like, I don't know how that aligns with, and forgive me if I'm wrong, there's a large Hindu as well as Muslim culture. So all of this is indoctrinated in us from the onset. And just to roll back to something that you said, is when children are born, it is scientifically proven that they can have two Ys and an X or two X and a Y. So they can be born transgender. They can be, homosexual or, at the time of birth. But we also, as a society, dictate what that norm should look like. When a boy comes out, he needs to wear blue. He needs to play with the truck. He can't cry. He does this. When there's a girl, she needs to wear pink. She needs to wear a dress. She needs to be feminine. She needs to be suppressed. So that is all changing now. And parents, yes, it's an adjustment. And yes, there are certain things that we want from our children because we are trying to relive our lives vicariously through them. So we want grandchildren and we want the picket fence and all that. They don't want that. They want to work from a device. They want a smartphone. They don't want to be attached to a big house and all these other things. So we are evolving, but
In
it's going to
transition,
take time. It is definitely going to take time. So you are doing a lot of work in a lot of different spaces. With women, you had made a comment in your last podcast that I viewed about addiction or drinking. People think because you can go to the liquor store, well, now you can go to the dispensary here in California and get marijuana and soon to get magical mushrooms, that there's nothing wrong with that. And they don't see the challenges that they face. Some are doing it socially, but some are self-medicating. What do you say to the woman that's in, that's in a struggle and really doesn't realize it, or does realize it and doesn't know how to pump the brakes?
And I think this I would highly recommend this is she doesn't even know that I'm promoting her book. My daughter suggested I read it. It's a book called Quit Like a Woman.
Quit like a woman.
Quit Like a Woman. I
Okay.
think the author is Holly Whitaker, I think. And it's a fascinating a book because she goes into how addiction treatment should be different for women versus men. So that's one part of it. The what I was talking about in that Facebook Live that I did with Laura was there is a way in which alcohol, which is actually the deadliest drug on earth, it kills, I think, about 3 million people a year. Opioids, I think, kill a tenth of that. But because of the power of the alcohol lobby, right, there has been this, lobbies are very powerful.
Of course,
And advertising is very powerful,
yes.
and So in this book, she talks about how, cigarette smoking was promoted, and how the doyen of public relations approached Hollywood and talked about how you can use cigarettes instead of dialogue to
Right, the
show
subliminal
somebody's
message,
nervous.
the
Yeah, you
intent.
know.
Yeah, I was digging that when you were saying that
Yeah.
the intensity of a cigarette. You just know that when someone lights it, oh, it's
Yeah. Yeah.
anxiety, they're
Yeah.
stressed, whatever. Or when they go to pour alcohol, that it's
Yeah.
a calming or a nerve, or getting
Yeah.
courage from it. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and it's we don't even know how subtly we're being influenced by that.
Food.
And so
I'm
that,
sorry, I'm triggered by food. I'm, trying to
yeah.
watch my diet, and every commercial in the burger or something that appears to be mouth-watering, and that that's not within your plan.
Yeah.
But again, it creates those endorphins. It makes you happy. It's like
Yeah.
it's a trigger.
Yeah, it's a trigger, and it's one of the things she talks about is that women have been told forever that they're not enough, right? That they don't, that they have been made to feel powerless forever. So when you go into a program like AA, and where you're relinquishing power and you're saying, I don't have power over this, that doesn't, at least it didn't work well for her, because it just reinforced where she was. She knew she didn't have power, and to then again say, I don't have power, didn't work for her. Not to say that it hasn't worked for a lot of people, but the industry works, the way the addiction industry, even the recovery industry works, is all laid out there, and it's a fascinating read. I love the way she talks about how what we need to learn to do is to mother ourselves, right? To really hold ourselves and love ourselves and learn to do that. So I'm really finding her. I mean, she's probably 20 or 30 years younger than I am,
But again, it's that evolutionary process.
Yes.
That's where it comes from. She
Yeah.
sees by example what has not worked.
Yeah.
And she's innovative and creative and bold enough to say,
Yeah.
you know what, let's try something different because this hasn't worked.
Yeah.
But you also try different modalities. We're going to talk about the chanting, but before
Yeah.
that, you also do tapping, emotional
I
freedom.
do. Yes, I do. I am a trained emotional freedom technique practitioner. I also have my own practice of meditation. So when I'm working with clients, I use meditation and tapping and visualizations all together to help rewrite our deeply held stories and beliefs, right? So we have a lot of stories that we have experiences in life that start at an early age. So Bruce Lipton, for example, talks about how until the age of six, we are in a kind of hypnagogic state. We are in a kind of hypnotic gaze, and we are just absorbing everything from our surroundings. So any lessons we learn then go really deep. So if the lessons that we are learning then are, you're not quite good enough. There are all these limiting things that we are told. And then as we live, because there are those subconscious beliefs, we keep repeating those patterns.
Right.
So what we do with the meditation and tapping is we go back to we find a thing that is bothering you. So suppose you, for want of a better thing, suppose you're an entrepreneur who wants to step up your sales, and you find that every time you set a goal, but you never meet it, right? So we talk about, okay, when you're trying to close somebody, what is it that you're feeling inside? And then we trace it back to, when did you first feel that, and what is the story behind that? And then we tap to remove the power of that story, and then we tap to reframe that story to make it a more powerful story, and then bring that forward so that now that story is not what is dictating your actions. So in a certain way, you have reprogrammed your subconscious mind to make those beliefs not that powerful. It's extremely powerful work. It's deep work. It's not easy. You know, people will break down, they will cry, it will there may be hesitation because often we don't want to talk about things that happened in childhood. We don't want to make it seem as if our parents were bad, and they were not. I mean, most people do the best they can when they
They do.
can.
And
Yeah.
as we have this conversation over and over again, it's epigenetics. And now
Yeah.
we know that it is it's in our DNA.
Yeah.
It's in our what is it? It's gene mapping at this point because it's been ingrained. I mean, your grandmother's grandmother,
Yeah.
she taught what she knew. It
Yeah.
evolved a little bit, it changed a little bit, but the root of who it is, that is your culture. That is your people. That's what you eat.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
are what you eat, be it spiritually, financially, relationships, sexually. All
Yeah.
these things are learned behaviors. So
Yeah.
we have a responsibility as we evolve in the human race and as women to break that cycle of dysfunction and
Yep.
disease and progress forward. And we can't be afraid of that. I
Exactly.
tell people all the time, we're all organic. We all have an expiration date. Okay. We are all going to die.
Yes.
Okay. So the best thing that we can do is try to grow in fertile soil,
Yep.
plant seeds, extend our branches, and bear fruit.
Absolutely.
That's all we're here for,
Yeah.
Shri, is to teach and
Yeah.
to learn.
Yep.
That's it. You can't take all of
Absolutely.
this stuff with us. You can't take all this dogma or doctrine or any of that, but you can take your soul and your spirit to the next level.
Yes.
And that is what I believe wholeheartedly that we have a responsibility to do. Before
Yeah.
we go any further, can you give us a quick example of emotional freedom technique? I'm a tapper. It
Okay.
was so funny. The first time I did it, my husband goes, "Baby, are you okay? Are you itching?" And I was like, "No." But as I get with my guests, I didn't know. I know the places that you can, that tap, but I didn't know the questions and how you question them, or how you open up things and ask things.
Yeah, so in order to do that, is there something that you would like to work on? Or
Weight loss. No.
okay.
I take that back. It's not weight loss because that's going to have to be a whole mind shift. What I want to do is I want to work on consistency. That
Okay.
is it. I want to be consistent with it. It's not that, I know what to do, but it's to keep it going.
Yeah, and we can't do a whole lot in 5 or 10 minutes, but I want you to say the word, I want you to just say this out the sentence first. I am always consistent.
I am always consistent.
And what do you feel when you say that?
Powerful.
Okay. I have made plans about, I have set goals for me in terms of my diet,
I have set goals for me in terms of my diet,
but I don't always meet them.
but I don't always meet them.
What do you feel when you say that?
Vulnerable.
Where do you feel it? What does vulnerable feel like?
Soft and mushy.
And you feel it here?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I'm assuming that this is not, would you say this is not a good feeling, or is it a good feeling?
It's not a good feeling.
Okay.
I feel like there's a loss of a sense of control. Like I'm not making a commitment or a promise to myself that I'm not.
There is some way in which I'm not enough. I'm not right. So then we would start tapping here, the karate chop point, and you would say, even though I feel vulnerable.
I feel vulnerable.
And I'm feeling the soft and mushiness
I
in my
feel the
chest.
soft and mushiness.
And it feels like I'm not good enough.
It feels like I'm not good enough.
I fully and completely love and accept myself.
I completely and fully love myself.
And I forgive myself
And I forgive myself
for not being consistent.
for not being consistent.
Top of the head. I'm not consistent always.
I'm not consistent always.
And when I say that, I feel vulnerable.
And when I say this, I feel vulnerable.
I feel this soft mushiness in my chest.
I feel this soft mushiness in my chest.
And it's not a good feeling.
That's not a good feeling.
But it's okay.
But it's okay.
I can still love myself.
I can still love myself.
I can find ways to overcome this lack of consistency.
I can find ways to overcome this lack of consistency.
Eyebrow point. I'm not always consistent.
I'm not always consistent.
I can figure out a way to become more consistent.
I can figure out a way to become more consistent.
I don't have to use this lack of consistency as another way to beat myself up.
I don't have to use this lack of consistency to beat myself up.
This mushy, soft feeling of vulnerability in my chest.
This soft, mushy vulnerability feeling in my chest
Is not a good feeling.
is not a good feeling.
But I'm willing to accept it.
But I'm willing to accept it.
Side of the eye. Even though
Even though
I have this soft, mushy feeling in my chest,
I have this soft, mushy feeling in my chest,
and I feel vulnerable
and I feel vulnerable
because I have not been consistent with my diet.
because I have not been consistent with my diet.
I accept me as I am today.
I accept me as I am today.
And I will find ways to change it
And I will find ways to change it.
below the eye. I don't have to do it all today.
I don't have to do it all today.
I can do it one step at a time.
I can do it one step at a time.
I have done so many other things in my life.
I have done so many other things in my life.
I can do this.
I can do this.
I will do this.
I will do this.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
Below your nose. This soft, mushy feeling.
The soft, mushy feeling.
I accept it.
I accept it.
It's a temporary thing.
It's a temporary thing.
As I learn to become more consistent,
As I learn to become more consistent,
I will be able to say I am consistent and committed.
I will learn to say I am consistent and committed.
And I won't have this mushy feeling anymore.
And I won't have this mushy feeling anymore.
I don't have to do it all today.
I don't have to do it all today.
I can do it one step at a time.
I can do it one step at a time.
I'm a powerful woman
I'm a powerful woman
who's done so many other things.
who's done so many other things.
I can do this
I can do this.
below your lips. I'm a powerful woman.
I'm a powerful woman.
I've done so many other things.
I've done so many other things.
I can do this.
I can do this.
I can find a way to make my diet consistent and healthy.
I can find a way to make my diet healthy and consistent.
I've done so many other things.
I've done so many other things.
I'm powerful.
I'm powerful.
I will do this.
I will do this.
Take a breath and let it go.
Now, brains, I shared something with you very intimate and very personal. Because I could have done this with Shree off camera. But I want to let you know that if I'm open to it, you can be open to it too. And I want to ask you some questions about the pace and the places. The question that you had me repeat and validate substantiated what I felt, but it was a reaffirmment. But when you had me to go from my karate chop to the top of my head, to the side of my eye, below my nose, below my mouth, it seemed to me as I was going through this process that these were places that I was implanting information and making a breakthrough. That I was cutting it off, that I was implanting it in my brain, that I was seeing it with my eye, that I was feeling and smelling it, speaking it, and releasing it. Am I getting this right?
I think that's a beautiful interpretation of it. It's not documented like that in the EFT training that they do. It's more each point is related to a different organ in the body, and whatever emotions are held in that organ is what we are affecting. So, but I'll be honest, this is the first time that I've heard it interpreted like that, and I love it.
And
I
but
love it.
this is
Yes.
how I was feeling. I was taking it in each place, and
Yeah.
I reaffirmed and I asked those questions. It was like it was impactful. It was like, okay, I am powerful and I can see myself being powerful,
Yeah.
and I can smell
Yeah.
it. I can,
Yeah.
I speak it, I affirm
Yes.
it. So I had a different take on it. And so we're gonna have to talk even more because I have to learn how to ask the question.
Yes.
Reframe the question, but also validate who I am and what my intention is moving forward.
Yeah, and the big thing, and for me it is intuition, right? I am not, especially right now, it's not just right now, but it's always being open to what spirit wants to come through me in order to best help the person I'm in front of. And so it's not, there isn't a script. I don't write a script down. It's just what does she need, and how can I best help her? And it always comes down to holding the person, allowing for where you are right now, and then slowly saying, you can move from here. It is possible to move from here. Look at everything else that you've done, and reinforcing the fact that we all have the power to change. We don't have to beat ourselves up because we are not able to implement change at the, in a flash. And each thing has its own time, and we just allow it time.
Okay, now people will say, okay, one session, two sessions. In my opinion, this is an ongoing practice, like a meditation. This is something that I can, again, go back and do 2 hours from now, go back and do 2 days from now, to reinforce what I'm saying until you get it, brains. You gotta
Yes.
do it. You gotta do it till you get it. But now let's talk about meditation. Because meditation is a strong, and again, I'm assuming I'm not, Hindu, I'm not Indian, but it is a deeply enrooted in the culture of the Indian people. And it is a spiritual awakening. It is a quieting of the mind. It's a peace, but it's also a place for hearing and learning. So
Yeah.
many people think that, okay, well, I'm going to meditate and, I'm going to manifest a new car or, a new husband. But no, it's a lot of times because I've had some really deep meditations. One of them, I'm going back and forth with the city here of San Diego about a traffic circle out here in front of my house. And I've been going at it really, really hard. My meditation told me to just surrender. Just
Yes.
surrender. And I was like, okay, you don't always have to drive the car. And since I gave it over and surrendered, they sent me an email that we're having a meeting on Tuesday about what I want.
Oh wow. Yeah, that it's amazing. It's
It's
just
amazing.
amazing. Yeah.
It's amazing. So tell us about magnifying our hearing during meditation.
So in order to magnify your hearing, you have to be in a place where you have a real connection. Right. So what I would say the first place you want to get to is to a place where you are deeply connected to God. And I think I may have shared this with you when we first spoke, but I grew up not fully knowing whether I believed in God or not. And my mom was an agnostic. She was not, my grandmother was an absolute believer, and she had a really rough life. So my mother was like, I'm not quite sure. My father was very devout. And then I lost my mother in a plane crash when I was 19.
Oh, wow.
And I was still in this space of, do I believe or do I not believe? And in that trauma, I got so tired of debating, is there a God or is there not a God? And I just said, you know, F it, I'm just going to live as if there is a God. And I actually remember the place in Bombay where I was when I stood on the footpath and I just said, I'm just going to live as if he's there. And I feel as if from that moment onwards, Krishna, who is my devotee, is my God, has held me, right? Has held me and led me through some of the really, really tough times that everyone goes through. So I had actually, you know, we talked about my arranged marriage. I had actually told my mom that I did not want an arranged marriage, right? That I wanted to, my brother found his own, my older brother found his own bride. And I had said, I don't want an arranged marriage. I want to find my own husband. And then she died. And then I did not want to put my dad through agony and worry and stuff. And so, but at the same time, as I developed a faith, the faith, it was that I will marry the person I'm supposed to marry. You know, God will lead me to the person I'm supposed to marry, whether I meet him on the street or whether I meet him this way, that my life is now, in a certain sense, in his hands, his, her, you know, and that surrender, I've carried. It's not always been there, right? Sometimes when you're going through rough times, you still question, what the heck are you
Well, you
doing?
know
What
what?
the heck? Yes.
The thing is, and I say this too, even as a strong faith person of faith and wisdom and courage, I still question. I'm
Yeah.
still like, is this really for me, or this really happened to me? Are you serious?
Yeah, exactly.
Do I believe in all this hocus pocus, alamocus? Do I? Of course.
Yeah. And
That's
so
like
once,
science. You got to keep asking the question.
and once you are there, once that kind of depth is there in your faith, then when you sit down to meditate and you ask a question or you ask for guidance, you do really make a connection. That you, the way I feel it is, I feel my heart open, you know, I feel a lightness, I feel a warmth, I feel I actually see, you know, we've got so many gods, but so then sometimes they're laughing at me, you know, how many times do we have to tell you this? You
You
know?
know what? You know what I see? I see colors. I
Okay. Yeah.
see color like you, and I ask spirit, God, universe. I call it Gus. God, universe, spirit. To show me, I seek the light. And I align the light with my chakras. But
Yeah.
sometimes, Shreve, I've seen colors that I've never seen before. And it's like when you're watching a brain scan and you see all of these different things. I know at that point. And my hearing, like I said, is magnified. I can actually hear God speaking to me. And I know that I'm not hallucinating, because I've asked for this. But the key to all of this is, do you follow the instruction?
Yes, exactly.
Somebody can tell you how to cook pasta, and you say, oh, let me put some, ketchup in that. Ketchup
Yeah,
doesn't go in that, it's
exactly.
just not right. So are you open enough and are you mature enough and responsible? Because it takes a level of responsibility and accountability.
Yes,
You can't just do this stuff
absolutely.
for shit and giggles. You got to be committed to it, and it's a sacrifice too. And I say that to you because you are a conduit that is helping channel information and help people guide their way. What do you do to cleanse yourself? Not just working with others, but I know in the meditation, you are getting downloads and information to help others. But what do you do for self to make sure that you are clean, that you are whole, that you are happy, and that it's not being convoluted with the other things that you're sharing with other individuals?
No, I've had a regular practice of prayer, and I tap. I meditate every day. There are specific chants that I use to center myself. That's my primary way of making sure that I'm grounded and I'm centered and I am present. I like to journal when I'm not getting answers. I find putting pen to paper. It has to be pen to paper. It can't be a
Absolutely.
computer. That helps me a lot. And sometimes just putting on some music and walking out in nature and just allowing that kind of cleansing and holding to is what's extremely effective.
I'm a firm believer of grounding. I went to the beach. And I took my shoes off and I felt all just like it felt when we were tapping. I felt all of the electromagnetic fields of the computer and the cell phone and the stress just kind of drain out of my body and go right into the sand. And I felt that tingling in my feet, I bet you for 2 days. I really felt the drain. But also you said chanting. Tell us a little bit about the culture of chanting and what is the benefit of chanting.
So there are the mantras. So there are different types of chanting. So there is chanting that are just prayers. I'm saying just prayers because they're not sounds that are put together in order to create a certain effect. They're just prayers, like hymns that people chant. So that's one type of chanting. So the what's it called? The bhajans, like Krishna Das or Jay Uttal, or all of those people. A lot of what they chant are called bhajans. And then there are what are called mantras. Mantras are specific Sanskrit syllables that are put together. They often, like the chant Om Namah Shivaya is a chant to the god Shiva, but it's supposed to be very powerful. The syllables are when chanted together, create an atmosphere, change the energy around you and within you. And it is also important that there are some mantras that you really need to be taught the correct pronunciation, because saying them the wrong way can the sound has energy, right? So the articulating them correctly is considered extremely important. So let me just—I don't know how much more time we have, but I just want to get into this chant, my experience with chanting, recent experience with chanting.
Well, before you start, you know what I have a challenge with is om. When I do om, I can only do it for so long. It takes everything that you have. I mean, from your chest to your abdomen to your concentration. I can only do it for a little while. So I try to practice that. And that's basic.
That's but yeah, it's it's you know they say that if you chant Om 21 times every day, that gives you a lot of it arranges your energy. So Om is made up of three sounds, right? It's ah, oo, and ma. So ah starts the vibration just below your navel, and then oo is the middle of your body, and ma is the upper part of your body. So it's meant to create a vibration through the entire upper torso. You do need to take a deep breath before every om, so that you sustain it. So that's probably what you need to do
Okay,
when
well,
you're
I'll work
chanting.
on that and my tapping, and I'll check back in. All right, so bring us up to speed with what you're doing with your current chanting.
So my current chanting, so this period from December 17th to March 17th is supposed to, it's a particular month, a lunar month called Margari, and actually this is the first year I'm doing it so religiously. I follow Sadhguru, who you may know. He's all over YouTube. He's a Indian mystic who is doing a lot of work in the world. You know, he's working on saving the so on improving soil. He's also got this program called Inner Engineering, which people can do online, and it teaches a certain form of meditation and breathing. But anyway, so his thing is that in the you get up in the morning, you do a there is a particular a thing called Guru Puja, which is a Sanskrit chant. And then after that, for 40 minutes, you chant Om Namah Shivaya. Okay. So for the past several till the beginning of this year, I was chanting it. I had headphones on, and I was chanting it with him and the whole group that chants it. Starting the beginning of this year, because there was some issue with the internet, I started chanting it by myself. I just set a timer for 40 minutes, and I started chanting. And when I started chanting, it was soft, and then as I began to take deeper breaths, and one of the things that came up was all of those little younger versions of me that had been shut up and had been told not to speak, and it felt like all of those parts were getting their voice back. It was a weird thing that came up. I don't know that it's weird, but and as that became powerful, also images of the children in Palestine, the children in Sudan, the children in Congo, the women in Afghanistan, the children in Afghanistan, all of those people without voices, it seemed as if as my voice grew louder, I was giving voice to them.
Wow.
And so today in my meditation today, the what I can only call as a download was that you can do this. You can give voice to them. Why don't you create an event where you're chanting morning and evening for 11 minutes for the next 33 days? And as more and more people join the chant, all of these people around the world who are voiceless are beginning to have representation of their voices heard. And so I'm going to set that event up. I will put it in your Facebook group as well, in your Facebook page as well. And let's all get together and give voice to the voiceless.
Absolutely. From a woman that has raised her voice to resonate around the world, Shreve, you have just been amazing. Thank you so much for, tapping with me, educating me culturally as well as metaphysically. I appreciate you and I adore you. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to work with you, and get more information.
So my Business is called Freeing Ourselves. My business page, my website is freeingourselves.com. My Instagram handle is at Freedom with Shri. And my Facebook page is also Freeing Ourselves. And I also have my own personal Facebook page, which is Shri Lata Melet.
Well, Brains, I'm going to put all of her contact information at the back part of the interview. Please leave a comment, ask questions. That's one of the challenges that we have now is that communication has shut down, or it has become so combative that people feel that you have to be on one side or the other, and that's not it. We're all ignorant about something. Ignorant just means not knowing. And the only way that you're going to know is if you ask questions. And the only way that you're going to learn and grow is if you're open enough to receive it and do it. And be consistent. Thank you so much. Brains, go in. Love, like, share, and subscribe. Please love, like, share, and subscribe. Shri also has a very powerful podcast. I want you to check it out. We're going to put all that information in the show notes. She's going to come back and visit me. And then when she does, she's going to see all this kind of slim down and the consistency. I'm telling you, I'm going to be smooth like a cake batter. Okay. It is perfect every single time. Thank you so much from my heart to yours.
Thank you, April. Really appreciate it. Loved this conversation.
Namaste.